Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence in You right here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM, and on the app on your phone, you can go to WCWP Radio. We've been talking with, I'm going to say, author and spitfire, Dorota Nigro, and she wrote a book about an experience she had kind of fighting a big organization, and the name of the book is Not Just a Number. Jerry has very carefully, methodically read your book. I'm looking at a book with paper clips and notes and just outlines and all kinds of highlighting to kind of come up with some questions. So I know you have interest in really kind of discussing this with Dorota. So where would you like to start at this point, Jerry?
First, on a personal note, Anthony brings his whole personality and his interests as a human being, not simply in terms of his job. So can you first tell us about, I know he was interested in boating, for example. Talk about the things that made him a good father, for example, and a good husband.
Well, Anthony was an excellent husband and excellent father. He loved his job, working for MTA, but when he came home, I think the life just surrounded around the family. He made sure that we enjoy every minute. And since he was a boater, we spent summers and summers and summers boating. I remember the first time meeting him and going in a boat. I had the full makeup, high heels, short skirt, and that's how I went on the boat. After a few times on a boat, I knew I have to have a flip-flops and the shorts and a bathing suit and no makeup. But we spent numerous hours in Zach's base. The Memorial Day weekends, Labor Day weekends. We watched the fireworks for the 4th of July, whether with the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels. And my kids enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. A lot of friends who had boats enjoyed it. Anthony was an excellent mechanic, so always get a call from a friend to fix the boat, to look at the boat. And it was such a good boater that he raised a boater. My son today bought a house on Long Island on the canal, in Freeport on a canal, and has a boat.
Very nice.
And it's amazing that you introduce children to something that later on in life that becomes their enjoyment, their hobby.
Right. So you became a real Long Islander.
I am a Long Islander. When I speak with my friends at work, they don't hear my Polish accent anymore. They think, I guess, they can place it. They just think I'm from Long Island. I think they think I'm Italian, I'm Jewish, I'm Portuguese. I mean, I get all possible.
Yeah.
I guess my accent got all mixed
up. Yeah, you kind of picked up a little bit of
A Long Island.
Yeah, a little bit.
Long Island.
Right. Well, you know, Long Island accent, you know, the key to the Long Island accent is if the word ends in A, you drop the A and you add an E-R. So say, like, my name's Rebecca. It would be Rebecca. If the word ends in an E-R, like happier, it becomes happier. That's it. That's how you talk Long Island. So,
yeah.
You know, you have maybe you have a little bit of that.
Maybe a little bit.
And then tell us about your two children, right?
My two children, today they're 28. Michael is 28 years old. He is an engineer. He works in Manhattan for one of the engineering companies. And he designs the ventilation, air conditioning, and heating systems for the new or existing projects in New York City. So he's a little bit connected to my husband's
Indeed.
Job, has to do ventilation. Mm. My daughter is also connected to my husband's illness. She works in nuclear medicine, and she works for the Memorial Sloan Kettering.
Oh.
And I'm so proud of both of them, and
I can tell.
Just about a week ago, I learned that my daughter got accepted to University of North Carolina for the they're getting her master's degree in radiology.
Wow.
And it's going to be online. Program. Very proud of both of them.
As you should be. You did good.
They're very good. They're very strong. They're very supportive children. And I hope it stays this way.
Oh, it's, with your encouragement?
I think it will.
It will be.
Yes.
Sure.
I believe in you.
Sure.
Thank you.
So you took your courage and used that quality to make the fight that was necessary to prove your case. And it took time. Sometimes you were sidelined because not everybody was helping you the way you thought that they should. So tell us about that.
Well, the courage had to come, I guess. The personality is one thing. I was always very strong, very competitive. I had to be my way or no way. And in this case, I knew that it was wrong what the MTA was doing to the employees. You know, when you see the indifference to the employees, you have to fight. When I learned where it came from, I mean, when the person dies from a heart attack or obesity or some illness that it's genetic, I can get it. But not when the company doesn't provide you with the safe working environment. And if my husband was the only one, I could not get it. But there were so many of them before and after him. So fighting for the case, fighting to win this, the encouragement only came, my kids were supporting me, my friends were supporting me, my husband's friends and coworkers, retired and not retired, were supporting me. And New York Transport Workers Union Retirees Department retired me. Not actual Transport Workers Union, but the Retirees Department gave me a big support. And a lot of my friends from Continental Airlines, now it's United, they supported me while on the jump seat going to India, 15 hours each way. We had just talked about the Rodas case with New York City Transit, a lot of suggestions and a lot of support. So and I knew I had to do it because I knew what the truth was. And when you have a truth behind you, you know you can win. And I wasn't fighting for myself. I was fighting for the other workers, and I was fighting for my kids. I had to show my kids that you gotta fight. You can just sit down, relax, and enjoy the ride.
That's very good. That's a very good example for family, too.
Tell us about the help that you got from James Dockery.
Yes. I never met James Dockery until my husband ended up in a hospital. James Dockery is, I thought he was a mechanic, but James Dockery is a cleaner for New York City, for the depots in Manhattan. He works right now at the 41st Street, Michael J. Quail. That man worked nights, left Manhattan at probably around 5 o'clock in the morning, came to the hospital and stayed with my husband for maybe half an hour, then drove back home to New Jersey, slept, went back to Manhattan to work, drive back. He went back and forth many, many times. Work with my husband, they enjoyed each other's company. My husband had friends from the cleaner to a mechanic to a bus driver to the top management. Maybe that's why funeral home was packed with people, because his death opened the eyes not only for the people working there, but also for the management, for the MTA, and the changes happened from that point on. And after my husband passed away, James Dockery didn't give up. Kept calling me, kept texting me, kept making sure that I'm okay. And it was happening every single week. There was a message from James Dockery. Even till today, he's there. The one thing James Dockery said to me, that Dorota, if they designed the engine based on your genetics, that engine would be running perfectly, and we wouldn't need mechanics to work on the buses, which is interesting. I guess I'm like an engine, never stop, yeah. Like that little battery that keeps on going and going and going.
Well, it was quite an experience you went through. And so when did it all finally, when did it come to a conclusion with what happened with the MTA, and what has life been like since then?
I won the case at the end of July of 2014, and I thought winning the case, I would prove my point, which I did. But I thought other families will follow what I did. But somehow the case was very quiet. It was publicized only in Wall Street Journal on September 5th, 2014, and after that was silence. So nobody really knew about it. And so I sat quietly for a while until I realized how something else has to be done. I tried to open a class action lawsuit where I contacted one of the biggest lawyers in the country, Peter Angelos. He has law firms throughout the East Coast. And I tried to open a class action lawsuit, but it was shut down when the lawyers didn't accept it. They told me it's time the money. And after speaking to one of the representatives from EPA, where I wanted support in that case, I was told no comment on that. When I was told no comment on that subject twice by him, I hung up the phone. I got angry, and I decided to write a book.
So where can people get your book?
The book can be, people can get the book on Amazon. Okay. Not just a number. It's written by me and with the help of Chris Moore. Or they can go on the website, www.notjustanumbertruestory.com.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I enjoyed the trolleys. That's how I traveled. That's how we traveled. And I remember the transition to the bus. And I talk to people today who miss the trolleys because that's what we'd be used to. We thought there would be some advantage to the buses. Can you tell us that part of it in terms of, you know, the difference in terms of the diesel fumes that come out of buses, but trolleys are electric.
Unfortunately, so. Jerry, we only have a minute left. But the good news is, if people want to read about that, they can get the book and kind of read the book and kind of do a little bit of research on their own. If you want to say the website again, that's great.
The website is www.notjustanumbertruestory.com, and the video on the history of trolleys in New York City and every city in the country, it's the second page on the website.
Okay.
Can you just say, do you think that we as a citizenry can do what you did if we have to in other cases that might come up?
You know what? We will revisit that maybe. We have 20 seconds left, and I really want to thank you before
okay.
we have to cut her off, because that wouldn't okay. be fair. Dorota, thank you so much okay. for talking
thank
about
you.
Your book and your experience.
Thank you so much
time
for having
really
me.
Time went really fast. It was really amazing listening to you. Perhaps we'll have you back again to talk a little bit more.
You've
been listening to Dorota Nigro, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.